Oh, you the voice?
Nah, not me.
So if you're not the voice, who is?
The people, man. The people's the voice.
So what does that make you?
That makes me the middleman. I'm the middleman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and today I am joined by musical artist J.O.
Much love. Appreciate it, man.
No doubt, bro. Much. Pleasure having you here, man. You've taken quite the trek to get here. You know, what was the drive? Where are you coming from?
Reading, PA, man. It was a straightforward drive. I was talking to my mom the whole way down, so it's pretty entertaining.
That's great. Always having those conversations with your moms, they're always great, man. Like, even with my mom, you know, she gives me a call and we're talking and it's a lot of fun. You know, she'll be, Kev, I was listening to your podcast and I'm like, whoa, she listens to the podcast. Yes. It's crazy.
It's the best feeling when you have family support. So, yeah.
110%, man. So, nonetheless, welcome to the Middleman Podcast. You and I met at Self Privilege Essentials way back when, and you performed and you did a hell of a job, man. I have here that you're a singer, a songwriter. And in that night, you know, there were a lot of artists who were in a rap realm, rap genre type of music. But you were a different tempo. You switched up the beat. You know, you enlightened the room. You, yes. You switched it up. So I could appreciate that just from like a audience member taking in what's going on. You killed it, bro.
Thank you. You know, I like to set the mode. So I kind of like to start. It depends on my mood. I like to start at high and like hype, and then end it on a good low note, or vice versa. So like I like to mess with the crowd's emotions and like that. So.
Yeah, man, you're a great performer.
Thank you.
Great performer. I was looking through your social media. It looks like you perform a lot.
Definitely, yeah. I've been on the grind last year and try to keep that consistency. So, yeah, getting myself out there for sure.
I like that, man, especially because, you know, before you and I spoke, you know, you mentioned to me that you're a little bit like a homebody.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know?
Yep, I'm a homebody, man. That's how I'm wired. That's how I've always been. I like to preserve my energy and... like express myself when I'm out there, you know, show my best part of myself, you know.
And that you really do. It's like a form of expression for you when you go up on that stage. Yes. You know, and I think it's really cool because when you're watching someone perform, once you know the background of what's really going on, you saying that you're a homebody, you stay at home, you work on your craft, that's what you do day in, day out, right? And then, but you keep it to yourself.
Yes.
You keep it to yourself, you put it out on a platform for people mm-hmm. to listen to. But there's a difference from listening to and actually watching, because you can listen to the track and you could feel the emotion, but then when you're performing, you can see the emotion.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what I want to say about you and your performances. Thank man. You. You can see the emotion. So
much
good
love.
On you.
No much doubt. Love, man. Thank you.
Love it. So let's talk about J.O. Let's talk about your background, right? You were born in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So that's pretty cool. And then you moved to?
Florida.
At the age of?
6, yep.
All right. Yep. So then you were there, and, you know, you ended up going back to Puerto Rico. This is all information that he provided, by the way. Yeah. I didn't stalk his life. I wasn't with a camera behind him the whole time, you know, checking stuff out. But, yeah, so basically what happened is you left Florida, went back to Puerto Rico with your mom.
Correct, yeah. So I went to Puerto Rico with my mom for about 3 years, and it was kind of a radical experience, per se, you know. You see a lot of things that you don't see in America. You know, Puerto Rico is America, but in a way, it's a third world country. Perfect timing.
It's 11 a.m.
Perfect timing. So you see a lot of crazy things that I was never really exposed to. And in a way, it kind of influences you as a young kid. So for me... At the age of 15, I kind of told myself I need to get out of here, just because it was so heavy influence with the criminal life.
Personally. Really?
Oh, yeah. So I told my mom and I said, look, I got to move out of here. I could see myself either in jail or in prison or dead, you know, in the next 5 years. As I said, I got to get out of here. And I decided to move with my dad at the age of 15. So I've been in PA ever since.
Wow, yep. That's such a commitment for you to make, especially a big move at a young age. You said you were 15 when you moved?
15, man, yep, 15, young buck.
And your mother, how did she respond to that?
You know, like every other mother, you know, they're not happy with it, mm-hmm. but she knew I was doing it for the best, for the better, and she was accepting of it. It was hard for her at first, but then... She sees where I'm at right now. She's happy for that.
She doesn't want to see her baby go. I get it, man. No. My mom is the same way. Yeah.
That's how it is, man.
But
mother love.
I know you mentioned while you were in Puerto Rico, that's where your start for music kind of like came to fruition.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned being able to, you know, your family members are all musicians. Care to talk about your family members?
Yeah, man. That whole side of the family, they're just all like musically inclined. And growing up, that's all, like every holiday we would get together and everyone would grab an instrument and play along. Guido, the guitar, microphones, tambores, you know. And just play like Planealo, La Bomba, all of the Spanish culture stuff. You know, it was a beautiful time, man. Until this day, they still do it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, man. That's kind of where like it all started, the love for music.
That's a big part of heritage that you probably would have never experienced if you would have stayed, in Florida. So you went over to Puerto Rico, got that experience, got that exposure. Everyone was playing instruments. That sounds like a great environment. You know, my family, we went around and they would roast a pig at the end of the driveway, but we weren't, grabbing like instruments and having the music was playing though, nonetheless. What instruments were you taught?
So I played the guido. That was my first instrument. Guido.
Can you explain that instrument? I remember. Oh, okay.
It's really, it's like a dried up, I'd say a dried up plantain.
Really?
Yeah. And they carve these little lines in it and you have this pick with a metal needle sticking out. You kind of just go about it and makes this weird like rustic noise. Wow. You got to find the beat to it and stuff like that, so it gets technical. And then I slowly when I moved back to Florida, I taught myself how to play the guitar. So like I kind of started at afterwards with the guitar, and that's kind of the only two instruments I know how to really truly
that's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Do you have any tracks in mind for the future that might be acoustic, where you're over there working with the guitar?
Oh yeah, I was about to show you one, but I have two tracks that are acoustic right now. And for the most part, those songs are complete. I'm just waiting for the mix and master to release them. But
tough, man. That's good. That's great. So I love that. The family gathering, Puerto Rico. We just had a picturesque luxury picnics here, and she was just in Puerto Rico the other day as well. Like legit. Yeah. So it's funny. It's like full circle. And so with that being such an influence, how have you seen the like influence from, just back in the day with your family, how has it translated to you as a musician?
I feel like it's really inspired me to really expand my knowledge in what genres I know.
Okay.
So I try all kinds of genres. I literally just wrote a Mexican song, a corrido.
Tough.
Man, it's Spanish, it's fire. And I never done that before, and it came out amazing. I do indie rock. I never done that before. Just wrote an indie rock song. Alternative punk. I try to expand with every kind of genre. So I think that aspect of instruments and that culture kind of helped me really embrace different genres. So yeah, in that way.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. I've never heard of indie rock, you said?
Indie rock, yeah.
Indie rock. Yeah. All right, we're going to have to listen to the
most
tracks
definitely.
After. I would definitely be interested. I know you were mentioning that, back home, you and your family would do, I have it, the screenshot. It was like true Puerto Rican music. I forgot the term you used for it, but I'm going to find it right here, right now. And play cultural Puerto Rican music.
Yes.
What do you mean by cultural Puerto Rican music? Could you give me an example of a song that I might know?
Salsa,
Okay.
Salsa. Planealo is like, in Christmas times, we play La Bomba. They have the specific instruments that you play in during Christmas times. And this is like cultural Puerto Rican music that's really embraced with African culture as well. That's why you see tambores, you see guido, all of that stuff, man.
Dude, if you ever go back to Puerto Rico, I would love to take a trip just because I want to be a part
of
that circle.
Man. Definitely.
I want to be a part of that circle.
It's about sharing the experience.
Yeah. So
that would be dope.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Would you view your voice as an instrument?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. Yeah, I would view my voice as an instrument. Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
I would view that as an instrument as well. So growing up, all around the instruments, how has that like developed your ear for music? Have you ever heard that you might have an ear for music?
Yes.
For good music. Yes. Can you give me an example that maybe you can think of where you're like, oh, I remember this because I did it when I was 13. How has that influence developed your ear to music?
Honestly, it's quite natural to me. It's like second nature. As far as the instruments and my vocals, to me, it's two separate things. And when I go into doing music, I don't really like to, I just do. I don't like to think ahead. And then during the process, that's where I come up with ideas of lyrics, of what notes to hit. Yeah, I just feel like everything is it's his own individual instrument. And it has its own class of a type of flow.
It's helped you develop. And from back then, you were recording in a studio with your cousin.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, I think you mentioned that you were still trying to find your melody, find your sound. You know, do you think you found your melody, found your sound, or you're still testing the waters, still finding out what's right for you?
There's still room for improvement. So I can't say I've reached my peak, because even if you reach your peak at that time, you know, there's still things to learn. So every day something new to learn. So I can't say, I haven't really reached my peak for sure. There's a lot more of talent that I can show out there, music-wise as well.
That you're like that.
Oh, yes, that I'm like that.
There's a lot of opportunities there. So, you know, with the family influence, you know, is there a specific figure that you look up to and, you know, just really admire in your family?
In my family, my mom, man. You know, a lot of people admire their mom because, you know, single mother of three. She did everything she can to provide for us. Even when she couldn't, she was there for nature nurture, and it was greatly appreciated. So yeah, she's my day one, man.
She's a day one. It's very, I like how you said that, because ironically, my upbringing is the same way.
Yes.
Yeah, my upbringing is exactly the same way. Yeah. Single mom, three boys.
Yes.
You know, three boys. I don't know if you have brothers, or sisters.
I have two older siblings, a sister and a brother. Yep.
And I know what you mean, like nurturing and being there when they can, because as a single mother, especially with, you know, my mother is relatively young. I think she is like 46 now.
Okay.
She was working a lot, you know, and she would be there, obviously. But, you know, we were left home alone at a young age just because that's the way we had to be.
Yeah.
You know, ramen was our best friend.
Yeah.
As well as eggs,
yeah.
You know, toast and peanut butter, you know, whatever you had, some extra toothpaste for tonight, whatever you got, bro.
I can totally relate.
it's good, man. You know, finding a common ground, and just my mom is my day one. You know, my mom is my day one. Yes. Shout out to mom.
Shout out to moms, for real.
Love you.
Love you.
All right. So let's talk about some of your tracks, man. Let's talk about some of your tracks. Okay. Do you have a recollection of what your first track was when you released it?
Ever?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a good one, right?
I think it was titled Thinking About Our Love.
Thinking About Our Love.
I would say it was 2013. That was my first track, and that's kind of where it all started, like I said, with my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one day I came to visit after summer vacation. He had a track. He's like, I got a little studio, plays the beat, and I impressed myself as much as him. So ever since then, I kind of grew a love for just the creative part of it.
That's awesome, man. And is that track still out? Is it on SoundCloud?
YouTube. Yes.
All right, bet. So I'm going to have to go on YouTube, check that one out, and just see how far, like, the quality of the music that you're putting out now is fantastic. You know, I really enjoy your music.
Thank you.
Quite the flavor, the style, the melody. You know, it's upbringing, it's upbeat, it's fun. You know, it's a lot of fun. You get the people to move.
Yes.
You know, I would say you get the people to move because the melodies of your tracks, the beats are such a big part.
Yes.
You know, and you're picking the right beats.
Oh, thank you.
You know, they're being presented to you the right way, and then you can work off of it. When you're creating a track, do you typically, is it you have the lyrics written down, or do you start with the beat and then add to it after the fact?
So my creative process is very unorthodox, I'd like to say, but common at the same time. So I just play the beat, open up my memos, record, and then I go off on a freestyle. And I do the whole beat on a freestyle. Once that's done, I pause it, play it over again, put up my little notebook, and then as I go and I listen to what I freestyle, that's what I write down. And then, like, the first sentence that comes up with, like, something that makes sense and I can relate to, that's pretty much the topic of the song.
Tough. So,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's a lot of spitballing in the beginning there.
Yeah, man. A lot of gibberish per se, because it's like freestyle. So
that's a lot of fun, man. Yeah. Do you freestyle? Do you, like, if someone were to put on a beat, would you step in the cypher?
I think I could. Yeah, I could do a little damage there for sure.
That's fun. Yeah, that's fun, man. I'm a self-proclaimed middleman podcast rapper.
Okay.
Like I can freestyle when I feel like it, you know, especially if I have a few drinks in me, you know. It's a lot of fun, you know. I'll do it sober, just sit there and you know, freestyle, just put on a beat and listen to music. I love music. I enjoy the music. I eat, breathe, sleep music. I'm digesting that motherfucker. It's crazy. And I'm not even an artist, you know. Yeah. it's an escape.
Yeah, it's an essential, I like to say. Just because the sound frequencies really affect the brain and emotions, and has a lot to do with that, man. There's a lot of scientific factor music that has been released, and I feel like it's an advantage to a lot of people with mental issues as well, you know. So yeah, there's a lot to music that people don't really realize.
It's a therapy session.
Most definitely.
A therapy session for you. You know, you're in there creating tracks. Have you ever created a track where, you know, at the end of it, maybe you sat back, relaxed, and just became overwhelmed with emotion because of how it all came out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's been a couple songs where I've really poured my heart out onto them, and just, like, sitting back and listening to my finished concept, it's like, I really did this, and it's really me speaking from my heart. So yeah, that touches you, for real.
Love that, man. So let's talk about the tracks that you have, man. Let's talk about the tracks. So we have your first album release, or EP, EP. Yep. Duality.
Yes.
Duality. And I was meant to follow up and Google duality, because I was going to, like, see the definition and everything like that. But duality, why did you name that EP duality? Could you explain the elaboration behind that? And I didn't get the true meaning of duality, so if you can honestly break down duality for me, that'd be great.
All right, so I'm going to be honest. Duality, I thought it was a dope word.
Okay, all right.
Clarify. Like, I understand the meaning, but in a way, it kind of reminds me of individuality. So I kind of use that to really represent my music in the part of it's really all mine. Like, everything I write is mine. Every lyric, every melody, every vibrato, that's all me. So, like, in that aspect of duality, that's what I mean by that. Like, this EP is me and my art and how I represent it. Yep.
I love that. That's a great meaning behind the title there. And so we have four tracks on here. We got Unwind, which is starting out. And then we have My Way. Mm-hmm. And then we have Down For You. And then we have May I. I'm going to continue on. So that's for duality, okay? And then we have a recent track released in 2023, I'm Like That. Then we have a collab with Mr. CJ Lopez called Am I Enough? You know, we're gonna tap into that in a few minutes here. But let's start off with your track Unwind.
Yes.
Okay, let's start off with Unwind. To me, Unwind, when I listen to Unwind, I get a strong Jamaican presence. that's what I get. I get a strong Jamaican. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but you kind of, like, altered your voice in a sense, just like how you were speaking.
Yes.
To kind of fit that flow.
Yes. I work with a lot of Jamaican people, so that was part of the influence. And I know a little Patwa. I think that's how you say Patwa.
Okay.
Language. So that was a big influence. I wrote that song back in 2019, and then like recently I just finished recording it and releasing it. So it's a party, man. It's a bop song for sure.
It's a bop song, 100%, man. So big Jamaican influence, and that's where the inspiration came for the song.
Yes.
Love that. And then we have My Way. Right. My Way is an extremely catchy song. What's the chorus for My Way?
This is my way.
Yep, there it is. Always working hard, always on the go, being my way. Explain the meaning behind that song, because it sounds like it's like an I'm here.
Yes, and the meaning behind that song is pretty much my goal in music. I kind of done to do it my way, per se. It's my way, and that's how I've been doing it since I started. I really want to be an independent artist all the way through. I don't want to really get into contracts and none of that stuff, so I'm doing it the hard way, my way. So pretty much that's kind of what I mean by that.
Are there any artists that you model yourself after, trying to make a name for yourself without having to join an A&R, one of the big record labels? You know, because that is an extremely tall task to fill, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to make it on your own. You know, I often think back to like Wu-Tang. You know, Wu-Tang did it, but they did it with a group.
Yes.
Might be a little bit easier to do it with a group. You know, you're here doing it by yourself. What are steps that you are taking to try to propel yourself into the right direction?
Well, the first is educating myself as far as the music business. It's a dark hole, man. It's a lot of things that you don't realize about it. It's a really ruthless, but just educating myself. I'm reading Russ. I don't know if you've read his book. I'm reading books a lot, trying to educate myself, YouTube, and as far as the business aspect as well. So pretty much, yeah, it's just educating myself.
Yeah, 110%, man. It's a lot, you know, to educate yourself and do that because, and the reason I ask that is because, like, okay, you're trying to make it by yourself, right? In a sense, I'm trying to do the same thing here, mm-hmm. you know, make it by myself. You know, I don't have a desire to join a radio show unless it's on my terms.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. But even then, I can still be limited just by like what you can and cannot say on radio. You know
yes.
what I mean? But what I'm saying is the research part of it. You know, recently we've been talking about trying to LLC the Middleman Podcast. You know, the name's available. Mm-hmm. You know, got to do it. But there's a lot more to it than just that one YouTube video that I saw.
Yes.
You know, like the one YouTube video I saw highlighted like four great points. And I'm like, wow, that's a really good point. Mm. Like, you know, I can't get sued or,
yes.
you know, like my assets. Like, let's say if someone were to sue me, then they can grab this stuff, but they can't grab my home.
No.
You know, exactly. like that's a separation there.
Yes.
But there's a lot more than just those four great reasons that those people told me
mm-hmm.
that are underlined. There's like 160,000 more reasons. What are your number, right? 160,000. You know, underlying rules that you really have to digest and understand. And you might have to call upon someone else.
Yes.
You know, like someone who's like a lawyer.
Yes.
Someone who mm-hmm. knows how to prepare this paperwork, notarize it. You know, so there is a lot that goes into it.
Yes,
it's a long path that we're on, my friend.
Yeah, it is. And I like the liberty of it. You know, if you're signing stuck on a contract, like they say, you sold your soul. But what they mean by that, you essentially sold out all your freedom. Like,
mm-hmm.
whatever they tell you to record in a way, you have to do it. You have a show, you got to do it. You have some money you owe, you got to pay that back. So I like the freedom of it. I don't like to be forced into something and make it feel forced, because then it's just like, it's not going to be natural. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then especially if you have to play within their bounds and their, you know, square box, you know, check whatever they
yes.
got need to get checked. It's limiting you. Like, okay, here's another example. So like watching the Wu-Tang Saga, right? I'm watching the Wu-Tang Saga. And RZA, you know, they made RZA. What was his name before he was a RZA? Did you watch that series by chance?
I have not.
Okay.
No. But it's on my list.
But he basically signed a deal by himself, and he ended up wearing all these like ridiculous things. And it was because the label basically told him, this is going to sell.
This is going to sell.
And long story short, it flopped. Mm. You know, it didn't sell at all. And they ended up like cutting him, and then he lost all his money, stuff like that. And then, you know, Wu-Tang came after that, you
yes.
know. But yeah, it's a really great series. So that's what I'm talking about in regards to like you have to play within their rules. You might have to be on their agenda, which is BS because like you said, you sold your liberty. Let's say that. You sold your liberty.
Yep.
And maybe a little bit of your soul.
Yeah.
And maybe a little bit of your soul. But let's get back to your tracks here, my friend. So the next one on Duality is Down For You. Down For You. Down For You, in my opinion, I get a Drake Wait For You. You know, with Thames and Future, that's the type of vibe I get for that. It's very, go ahead, explain that track. It's
a vibe, man.
It's a vibe, bro.
There's actually three different versions of that track.
Mm.
And every version is a different topic.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of a roller coaster because I was really stuck on that first one, and that was the one I was head on to release, but, I'm always open to constructive criticism, and with the help of my producers, my musician peers, you know, they just gave me a lot of good advice on where to go about that song, and yeah, it's pretty much it's a bop, it's a vibe.
That so you have three other versions of this song, and three different topics, pretty much. So like, did you like complete the song and then it just wasn't like resonating? It didn't feel like you. So then you decided to rework it?
Yes.
Okay.
And then that's a lot. I do that a lot with all of my songs. Like, I put in hours and hours, and if it's not how I like it, it's not how I want it to sound, then I'm just going to redo it. And I like to save my work just for future references. So come up with a beat, and I look back into what I wrote, and I use that and put it into my new songs as well. So
the two other tracks that you have, you still have them in a vault?
I do.
You still have them in a vault. Yeah. You ever plan on releasing them at all? Do you ever plan on, maybe not like on, I don't know, Spotify, Apple, so on and so forth, but maybe like on a SoundCloud?
Yeah, in the future, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the future, most definitely. That way they can see like the process of how it started and then where it ended.
That's awesome. Yeah, that sounds like a great project. That would have been like one of those tracks that if someone were recording you the whole time, like Kanye, like, you know, recording you and watching you do your thing, the rework, the struggles, you know, does that sound right? You know, like how do you get through those bounds, those challenges as you're recording? How do you get through that?
I take breaks, man. Really do. Like I said, if it feels forced, if I don't feel like I don't feel like recording, I'm not gonna push myself to it. So I really take that to heart. Like you need your time, a work life balance. So yeah, I take my time. If I don't feel like I'm doing it right now, I'm gonna take like an hour break. Do the dishes, laundry, whatnot, and then get back to it pretty much.
Yeah, that's great, man. Take a pause or step away. And everyone has different methods as to how they create music, you know. We had Broey Beach. Shout out to Broey. Sweatshirt came in today, you know, beautiful sweatshirt, loving it. Thank you so much. But speaking about Broey and the way he creates music, he's like, dude, it's the way I do it, it's very unorthodox. Everyone has their own reason of unorthodox, right? Yeah. Dude, he says he locks in into a room and will sit there from beginning to end. And he's like, yeah, sometimes I'll forget to like eat. He's like, sometimes I'll just be in there for like hours. And he's like, I know that sounds like a maniac thing to do.
I was going to say, that's insane. Yeah, that's insane. But that's dedication. You know, it's like everyone has their own little niche of like how to do it and how to go about it. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I really enjoy his music. I'll play for you after. Great, great artist. And just a real sound guy, legit, man. I learned a lot from him, so he's a really good dude. So then after Down For You, we have May I.
Yeah.
May I. What's the chorus for May I?
May I.
Yep. Yeah. Love it. May I do what? What's the purpose behind that?
It's a heartbreak song, man. You know, it was back in high school. I really tapped into that emotion.
I
tapped into that emotion, and it's a heartbreak song pretty much. And it's just like, me, may I write this song about you, pretty much. And I asked her, you know, so respectfully.
Really?
Yeah, I did. So she said, yeah, and that's kind of why I titled it May I, yeah.
That's awesome. I love it. So it was you wrote it in high school? Or it brought you back to your high school days?
Yeah, it was one of those moments where I'm like sitting down and I'm trying to look for inspiration. And the first thing that popped up in my head was heartbreak. So that was like what brought it up pretty much. Yeah.
Love that. And then the fact that you even asked her about it was pretty dope. And the reason I say that is, speaking about Kafar, you know, him setting us up, getting everything, basically putting it on a platform and networking a lot of people together. Kafar has this one song that he released, and I think it was something like, it's basically the thesis of the song was like, message to my exes. And the whole time he's like speaking about, yeah, and Trudy almost got me shot. Like, I know that's not the verse, I know that's not the words, but like, he'd be like, Trudy tried to take my money out of my wallet, and then Susie came over and tried to, you know, steal my car. But like, he did all these, right? And he was telling me in the process when he dropped the song, like, one person threatened to sue him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, one person threatened to sue him, and so on and so forth. So like, I was like, yo, was that real? Like, was that a real track? Like, did all that happen? Yeah. He's like, yeah, man, that all happened.
That's crazy, man.
So yeah, I guess you gotta ask permission to let people know, like, yo, I'm gonna write this song about you.
Yeah, you gotta ask for the blessings. You never know. You never know people's intentions, because at the same time, you're kind of like exposing that part of their life. So it's like, it's only right to ask, definitely.
100%. And then after that, we have one of your newest tracks of 2023, I'm Like That. And I'm Like That is different. You know, I think I like that. I'm Like That is definitely one of those flexing your chest type of songs, you know, and it's different from you, J.O., because like, from just meeting you as a person and as you perform through your music, you know, you're very humble, in my opinion. You know, you're very humble. So the I'm like that is puffing your chest out.
Yeah. Puffing that's kind of like, I don't really flex. I don't do none of that stuff. So like, that's kind of my way of flexing through music. It's a motivational song. It kind of represents like my mode when it comes to music and where I'm coming from and what I'm out here to do. So that's what that song pretty much is about.
Would you say that's like a mantra?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, definitely. It's different from all my songs. That's why it kind of stands out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely. I consider it that. It's definitely.
Excuse me. I'm Like That is a fantastic track. I'm a big fan of that track. I'm a big fan of your music all around, you know. And honestly, I just want to say this right now. I remember Charlie Roy was like, yeah, man, I don't promote bad music. And that's how I feel with this platform. I don't promote bad music, bro. Like, if I'm bringing an artist on, trust me, bro. Trust me. Their music is great. I listen to music 25/8, no escape, all right? Like, it's crazy that, you know, some people will take offense if I were like, you know what, man? I don't really like your music. Because imagine if I were trying to have a conversation with someone and faking the whole time that I like their music.
Yes. It don't come out genuine. Like, people see that. Yeah, it comes out in either way. So they'll see it. It's better to keep it genuine and in high spirits for sure.
Exactly. And be like, just be upfront with them. Be listen, man.
Like, constructive criticism, like I said, respectfully, I don't like your music, or respectfully, this is not my thing, you know?
Music is very subjective, right? It's subjective. So someone's going to like it. And let me ask you this, okay? This is a funny statement from Hoodie Hardaway, okay? We just had him on a podcast not too long ago. We actually just released this episode this week. And Hoodie Hardaway said, who do you go to when you need to get an opinion about a track? You know, who are the people that you go to? What demographic are you surveying when you need an opinion about a new track?
So I go to my guy, shout out to 2MP Studios, Byron. He's pretty much my producer right now. And he's very honest from the start. And I go to him, man. I drop him a couple songs, send it to him, and then he gives me, like, yo, change this part of the song and add a little melody there. Take this one off. It's a little too much, you know? And then, like, in that aspect, it's kind of where I go with him, definitely.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you have your own producer there.
Yeah.
You know, who's riding with you and on your team.
Yeah, man.
That's
good. And
we've
been recording till 2016. So I've been knowing him for a while now. So, yeah.
That's good, man. Good on you. And the reason I asked that about the demographic and who you search, who you get feedback from, is because Hoodie Hardaway, he said, just let me know how you feel about the statement. He said, if you need an honest opinion, present your song to a woman.
Okay.
And he says, because women are very, like, they'll tell you.
Yes.
They'll tell you how it is. So how do you feel about that statement? Would you rock with it maybe 70%?
That's 100%.
Oh, 100%?
Yeah. 100%. You know, they won't hold back. They'll let you know.
All right. I like that. That's, I guess I got to start presenting. Like I said, I got to present my work now, too.
Yes.
You know, be like, hey, I need your honest opinion about this, you know?
is this valid? Like, let me know.
Let me know. Because if it isn't, I'll rework it. Okay. And so now we're going to talk about your other track here. One of your newest ones with, it's a collab track.
Yes.
It's a collab track with Mr. CJ Lopez. Yes. Shout out to you, CJ Lopez. And, you know, that song is called Am I Enough?
Yes.
Am I Enough? And I don't know, man. Do you want to care to share a story about this song and this track?
I mean, I can sum it up real quick.
Okay.
Going through a heartbreak right now. I kind of use that like the other couple songs, and I use that to my advantage with music. And I kind of express the situation with the relationship and how it ended and where it's going now. And yeah, it kind of relates to what I'm going through right now. So yeah.
I like that. Am I Enough? So Am I Enough? You and CJ Lopez linked up, and I was very happy to be kind of a part of that.
No, you were definitely a part of that, man. You're 100%.
I love that because at the performance with at South Privilege Essentials, just hearing your sound, I was like, nah, these two got to make track together.
That was perfect, man. I can't believe you hear that because you got an ear for music. So that was just a perfect matchup, man. CJ Lopez, man, talented individual, man. Shout out to him.
And I want to let you know that before I got on the air here, well, not even before, but during the research, I talked to CJ Lopez and I was like, yo, CJ, I was like, let me know what your honest opinion is about JL. Let me get the insight. Let me see what you got. So I'm going to just read for verbatim, you know, as to what he said. And this is verbatim through text. It's just, he goes, for sure. For sure, brother. It was actually extremely organic, bro. He had posted an IG story of the song as a snippet, and I wrote to him via DM on how I'd love to get on the track. We chatted and shared each other's emails, and he sent me the track with an open verse on it. The track just wrote itself, bro. We all felt those lyrics once in our lives with a significant other, and he's been going through some things, and it resonated a lot with him. So I said it to him, and he loved it, and then you guys got close over FaceTime is what he said.
Yes.
So, and then he ended off with, for the first time, soon after all that, we had more in common than we thought. He said, he goes, so thank you, bro, for setting that all up. Yes. And you're an extremely talented and a real bro. And that's what he said. That's what he said.
Appreciate it, man. You know, CJ, man, he's a humble man, and he presents himself in a very confident manner, and very respectful. So much respect to him. Much love to CJ, bro. And I'm looking forward to keep working with him, man, for sure.
CJ Lopez is the man. You know, I often say he's the GOAT just because when he was here, he was wearing a hat. That's the GOAT.
It correlates. It makes sense.
So he's the GOAT. That's what Definitely. He is. 110%. I love that track. I was happy to be a part of it. I'm happy it all worked out as it did, as organic as it was. And, you know, he was like, Kev, I'm telling you, J.O. is a great guy. And, you know, you're just going to be able to come out here and flourish and talk. And with it being your first podcast, man, first of all, on my behalf, I'm honored always to give someone their first platform, their first podcast. You know, this is going to open many gateways for you. I'm hoping, you know, that people know that you're willing to get on an interview, man.
Definitely.
So just keep going out there, you know, and being prominent and show your face and really be, I'm like that, bro. You're like that.
Appreciate that, man.
You know what I mean? I'm excited to see what you got coming out next. Do you have any tracks? Oh, you said you have two tracks in mind.
I have two tracks in mind. So the first one is titled How I Feel, which correlates to the heartbreak. And that's an acoustic track. I'll show you later. I want to show you a little snippet
no doubt.
Of that one. And then the second one was... I'm blanking out right now. What was the name of that track? I'd have to look it up. But it's a bop, man. It's a bop.
So you're just waiting for the mix and mastering. You're waiting for it to basically get all finaled up.
Correct.
Do you have, I don't want to put you on a spot, but do you have like maybe like a month? We're not talking about any specific date, but maybe a month that you plan on having that out.
So I was planning on releasing a song the end of this month. So it'll be one song at the end of this month and then two songs next month. So, and I have many more tracks. It's just I'm trying to decide on the layout of them and when to release them.
The rollout process.
Yes.
Yeah, the rollout process. Yes. Do you have any albums coming soon? Do you have any thought of creating an album, or do you plan on releasing singles and then maybe collaging them as an album?
What's crazy about that is I have so many tracks and songs that...
I'm sorry, you're fading away from the mic.
I have so many tracks and songs that I can literally just composite them into a whole album, but each one has a different meaning. If I'm gonna do an album, I'm gonna put and dedicate my time specifically to that album. In theory, I could do that, but I just feel like it's not so far I've been just trying to release singles and EPs, but album is coming. I'd say like end of the year, hopefully, maybe next year, we'll see.
Awesome, man. I'm happy for that. Definitely looking forward to it. And when you guys are checking out JL's music, make sure you hit the follow button, you know, on every platform. Just hit the follow button, you know, support the artist. You know, like, a follow means a lot. You have no idea how much that means.
Deep.
So, you know, before we were talking, you know, on your tracks, through the notes, you were talking about generational wealth, you know, your goal for music. What is your goal in music?
My goal in music is to truly... provide financially for my family. Growing up poor and living through life as a struggle per se, it's traumatizing in a way, because you know, as a if you're a parent, you want the best for your child. And in a way, it kind of helped me become the person that I am today. But pretty much it's just to help my family out and build generational wealth and kind of build up companies. I want to build a company in the future, agriculture. I want to buy land, plants, and, you know, I got a lot in mind, man. I got a lot of plans ahead, and truly my goal is to help my family financially.
Would you ever attempt to join a show such as like one of the singing shows? Let's just call it like that. We got American Idol. We got America's Got Talent. I know it's not just singing, but yeah. America's Got Talent. Would you ever try something like that?
I actually auditioned for one. What was the name of it? The one with Cardi B.
Oh,
it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Mike, do you know it?
Yeah.
check it out. Fact check us on that. So you did an audition on that.
I did, but unfortunately COVID hit at the time.
Mm.
So I was one of millions, I'm assuming. I just sent them out a couple videos and really didn't hear much back from them. And then COVID hit and they canceled the show. But right now with music, I don't think I'd ever put myself in that position. Truly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that? Do you want to just stay off of that path? Okay.
Yeah. Kind of want to create my own journey. I want to create my own journey and share the experiences that way because it's more genuine, you know?
If you had to put your journey into like a book, right? What part of the book are we at? If you had to put yourself in a place marker.
That's a good question. I'd say we're midway.
Midway?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just to be honest. Yeah, we're midway.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I would honestly say that I'm in about midway as well, but like maybe just a little bit under midway. But nonetheless, I think our demographic here is really starting to grow in the in a Middleman podcast. You know, as for you coming out from Reading, PA, 2 hours away, you know, that's immaculate. I commend you. Thank you so much, you know, for making a drive and, you know, showing the people out there that there are platforms like this, you know, and likewise you're coming here. So people out here are going to know you, you know what I mean? And then you have a performance tonight, have a performance in Allentown. So you're doing it. You're getting out there. Talk to me about that performance. Where are you going tonight?
Art Quest, Allentown. It says it's in Bethlehem, but pretty much in Allentown. It's open mic, essentially. There's poets, there's comedians, there's rappers, singers, musicians. It's a cool place to really network. I'm gonna perform. I'm like that, and then another track. I like to perform. So when I go perform, I like to show off my recent released tracks and then a track that I haven't released yet.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I do my performances. That's how I like to go about them.
That's
so,
smart.
Yeah.
Because then people are gonna be like, "Yo, where's that song?" And be like, "It's not out yet.
It's not." But stay tuned.
But wait on it. Wait on it. 100%, man. 100%. That's good. And when you find these performances, open mics, do you just go on social media?
It's just the connection. So from when I started back in 2022, Baby the Poet, shout out to Chevy. Chef Robinson, amazing artist. He would love to be
That's
here.
A dope name.
He's amazing, man. He's an amazing individual. But he kind of gave me that connection. He's kind of been, I've been under his wing, and he's been teaching me a lot and gave me those connections. And from there on, the networking really expanded. So they kind of just hit me up and then be like, "Hey, you want to be part of the show?" And that's how it's been lately.
That's
awesome. It's just kind of why I'm midway. To have someone come out to you and be like, "Hey, let's come perform." That's an honor.
Yeah, that midway, that recognition, people are starting to understand who you are. And that's why I would say I'm probably at the midway marker as well.
Definitely.
Because I was just telling you before we got on the air here, you know, like at the end of May, I was like, damn, like we don't have the last week of May figured out. June's wide open. We haven't figured that out. And then, I've kind of realized that it's only a matter of sending a text, making a call.
Yes.
You know, putting out the casting call.
Yep.
And the people who are serious will hit you back.
Yes.
You know, so we're on our way, man. We're doing it. We're turning a corner here. So do you go back and visit Puerto Rico often at all?
I do. I was there last year, the year before that. I'm going in next month for about 2 weeks just to kind of recalibrate, just kind of reconnect with the family and my roots and where everything came from. That kind of humbles me, keeps me grounded for sure.
So you're talking about the roots, you know, grounding you, it keeps you grounded. How do you incorporate culture? What does the culture mean to you? You know, you mentioned you have a Hispanic track coming out.
Yes.
So how, what does the culture like really embody to you?
My identity in a way, you know, everyone has their own identity and
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's my identity. That's where I'm from. And it means a lot, man, to represent your own little place. I don't want to say country because it's not a country, but yeah, to represent your people and to have that love, that unconditional love, to show up and your old high school friends see you and they're like, oh, you're really out there, man. You know, that's a humbling experience, man. That's truly an honor, like I said.
You're really out there, man. Yeah, that's really cool. You know, going back and visiting, especially on your terms, you know, that's just how it is for you because you get to go back to another. You said it's not a country, so what are we calling it? Islands?
It's a territory.
It's a territory.
U.S. territory.
Okay.
Not for long. We'll see.
Is that true?
Yeah, there was a bill passed to become statehood or independence. So that's coming up soon.
Statehood? Yeah. So like 51 states?
Correct.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. There's pros and cons to both of them.
Bro, the flag would be thrown off, first of all.
Yeah. Yeah, the flag would have to go. That's an unfortunate part of it.
The flag would have to go. I mean, I don't know if it's really unfortunate or not. I mean, I stand for the flag, but you know, like, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Thanks for giving me that insight. I'm gonna have to look into that 110%. You know, I know when we were talking and you sent me your itinerary, you mentioned, you know, you have a heavy belief in religion.
Yes.
You know, religion is prominent for you.
More like God.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But religion and the church is really not where I base myself on, but the belief that there's something up there that's bigger than us, that's represents more, then yeah, that I definitely believe in that. Yep.
Is there any conflicting moments while you're like creating music? You know, are there any conflicting moments?
There were, but I kind of waved myself out of that judgment, that mentality, and. Not anymore. I wouldn't say anymore now. But there were times where I'm like, should I be saying this in the track? I don't know. Like, God forgive that. I'm not sure. We'll see.
I'm gonna have to go and do a couple of Hail Marys after the fact. You know what I mean? Sheesh. No, I feel that, man. I feel that. Religion is an important aspect to life. Honestly, a belief in something is all I'm gonna say. A belief in something.
Yes.
And you know, even for the non-believers, you know, you believe in the universe. You know. So you believe that maybe the universe is working in its own ways, you know, it's being mysterious and, you know, with religion, it gives you that sense of belief, you know, and belief is strong. It burns within inside everyone, you know, how do you keep your belief going inside when you're down? Like, let's say you've been having like a roadblock with creating, right? Mm-hmm. How do you spark that fire? Let's say the fire was dim. How do you spark that fire? Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, man. There's a lot of times that it happens. But I really use basketball, skateboarding, sports.
Skateboarding.
In general, yeah. Like, I just love sports, and it's what gets me out there and just, like, burnout. All that negative energy just, like, kind of really feels refreshing afterwards. It's kind of like a reset button. So, like, yeah, keep moving and sweating and, you know.
Sports. Resets are essential.
Yes.
Resets are essential. You know, I've heard you use the term reset a few times now, you know, mm-hmm. So it's like when things get overwhelming, you find a way to step back, evaluate, you know, and put it probably in a back burner over your head. Like, it's still there. It's still there, but it's not up front.
Exactly.
It's not up front. And, you know, those are great ways to attack any type of struggles that you're having as a person. You know, like if something doesn't work out, right? Something doesn't work out. Don't crash and burn. It's known as a temporary defeat.
Yes.
But more often than not, we're acknowledging it as a permanent defeat.
Yes.
You know, so that's a good way to just step back, take the bigger picture, see how far you've come.
Yeah.
You know, see where you're going, see where your goals are, the milestones. You know, you're hitting milestones probably like performing on stages, right?
Yeah. Every time, man. Every time it's like it's crazy because. I never knew that I can control a crowd the way I did back in, I think it was February, March, around there last year. The first time I've ever had a whole crowd stand up and dance to my music. And,
tough. Dude, where was that at?
That was at the Poconos. Shout out to Zell.
Yo, I've heard of the real Zell.
Yeah, real Zell. Man, yeah. That's the real one. He gave me the opportunity to perform there. And that really kind of gave me the insight and like the knowledge of like, oh, I can actually do this. So that was kind of like a push forward. So yeah, it was dope.
So on your leisure, you know, you like to go outside, you like to play basketball. I hoop every now and then. I would say I'm a street baller. I'm not a professional baller.
You
know
what I mean? Street baller as well.
All right, all right. Yeah. I'll give you some buckets in the mid range. You know, great defense, and I'm cleaning up the boards.
It's a summer.
But you know, you do that, and you mentioned the longboarding.
Yes,
longboarding, and you were telling me something about this longboard that you have earlier. Tell me about this longboard.
The electric longboard, man. You know, it's a great way to commute. Gas prices are high up, so like, yo, you know, you use your advantages to that. So yeah, I love skateboarding. I've been skateboarding since I was 12 years old, and yeah, just kind of grew up to liking longboards because I'm a little older. Not old, but I'm like, I have a full-time job and I can't afford to get hurt, so longboarding is kind of the way for me.
Were you doing a lot of tricks back in the day?
Yeah.
Any broken bones resulting in these tricks?
Sprained ankles, bunch of sprained ankles, sprained wrists. Yeah.
Ouch. my preferred choice of, well, my weapon of choice last when I was younger was the Razor scooter.
Nice, yes.
You know, and I really mean weapon of choice because that motherfucker's a weapon.
You ain't lying.
You ever try to do a kick flip and have the thing spinning and you're trying to jump over and it kicks you right in the shin and then you're down. You're down and out for the count, man. You're down and out for the count.
Yes.
And I didn't know that they had an electric longboard. I think that's really, really cool. Yeah. I should probably look into that. My brother's a longboarder.
Is he?
Yeah, he likes a longboard. He lives out in Louisiana, you know, so he's chilling out there cruising. But yeah, I don't do skateboards. I don't do longboards. I'm big man certified. So so we don't get along. You feel me?
No,
like, we don't get along. I got this electric scooter. I got the bike, which isn't here because I'll tell you that story for tea time. But nonetheless, you know, we're about to start wrapping up the podcast here. We're going to transition over into tea time in a few minutes here. Not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. And before we do that, you know, I always like to give the floor to my guests before we get off the air here. You know, any inspirational messages, any your follows, you know, your social media where they can check you out. You know, the floor is yours. Up and coming projects, the floor is yours.
My name is Joseph. I go by J-O. You guys can find me on Instagram at Joseph J-O, I believe it is. I have upcoming projects. I don't want to get too into it, but in the next coming month, in the end of this month, I'll be releasing 3 projects by then. And my message is pretty much, it is what it is. just go about life and ride the wave, you know. Don't think too much into it, and take every day step by step and love yourself. Be kind to yourself, pretty much.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for coming out to the Middleman Podcast. It is what it is. Jay over here is a fantastic artist. Please check out his music. And dude, you did fantastic for your first podcast.
Good luck on
your performance tonight. You know, kill it. You're going to do great. I'm very confident in that. And with that being said, we're going to transition over into tea time. Not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, signing out. Peace. All right. I know what you're thinking. Kev, seriously? Another ad? Are you serious, bro? But listen, if you're enjoying this conversation, you really want to listen to this ad, okay? Listen, I got good news for you. We have exclusive bonus content strictly on YouTube after this podcast with the same guests, right? Check this out. And this segment is called Tea Time, right? Now, Tea Time is not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. So that's right. Do yourself a favor. Go out there, buy yourself an Arizona Iced Tea, and join us strictly on YouTube for extra bonus content on Tea Time. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you there. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe.